Jesus, Lord, the last thing we want to happen right now is for our focus and our attention to shift away from you to a man. Lord, we don't need a man and we don't need a man's word. Lord, we need you. And so, God, I pray for the grace for all of us to receive your word. Lord, to have our attention and our focus on you. I pray, God, for the grace for myself, Lord, to decrease this morning, Lord, and for you to increase. Lord, for you to have all the glory, for you to have your way, for your Jesus to be exalted, for your Jesus to be the champion of our lives and of our hearts this morning, Lord. This is all about you. We recognize you in this room. We recognize your presence, and we thank you for who you are and for what you are doing in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So Isaiah 50, I want to read a few verses from this beautiful chapter in Isaiah, and I want to start with chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 50 contains quite a few verses in Scripture which New Testament authors have also made applicable to Jesus as the suffering servant who came and who prophetically fulfilled this portion of Scripture. But in the start of Isaiah chapter 50 verse 2, it says, "Why, God speaking, why when I came was there no man or no person, no one? Why when I called was there no one to answer? Is my hand shortened that it cannot redeem, or have I no power to deliver?" Now, we know, of course, that God's hand is not shortened. Amen. We know that God's hand can redeem. We know that in many of our lives here this morning, as we are sitting here, we are testimonies to the fact that God's hand intervened in our lives, that God's hand moved in our lives, that God's hand intervened when we were down and out, when we didn't see a way out, when we were at our last, on our last breath, on our last scent. God's hand intervened. His hand is not shortened. His hand can redeem. We know that God has power to deliver. Many of us in this room can testify to that this morning, that I'm someone whom God delivered. I'm someone whom God saved. I'm someone who, left to myself, would have destroyed my life, would have ended up bankrupt emotionally and spiritually and financially. Or maybe I was bankrupt spiritually and emotionally and financially. I was a wretch, but God saved me. God redeemed me. And God not only redeemed my life and saved my life, but God is still saving lives, still redeeming lives, still intervening, still doing miracles. Amen? He's not just the God who did miracles and performed miracles. He is the God who is performing miracles, is doing mighty things, is delivering, is saving. And we gather because our God is alive. We gather because His hand is strong enough to save. We gather because His presence is powerful enough to set free. We don't come for dead religion. We don't come simply to listen to a sermon or sing good songs. We come to the living well of life-giving waters. We come because we know we walk out of here differently than what we walked in. We come because we know that we receive so that we can give. And verse 2 says, from God's perspective, my hand has not been shortened. My power has not been diminished. But I've always chosen to reveal my hand and to reveal my power through partnership with people. Amen? Jesus can use angels, He can use nature, He can use anything that He wants to, and He very often does, but He has primarily chosen to reveal His saving grace, His mighty arm, His redeeming power through mankind. Let your kingdom come, let your will be done, is ultimately a prayer of partnership. It is ultimately a prayer saying to God, God, I want to accept your invitation for me to partner with you for your kingdom to come. And then from God's perspective here, for the people of Israel, He has this question that is asking them, why is there no one that is responding to my call? Why is there no one that is willing to stand in the gap? Some other verses also say. And I know that in this room, that there are people that when God comes, you respond. When God calls, you answer. And I want to encourage you and I want to exhort you that whenever God would continue to walk into a space like this through the worship, or when you go home and you and you walk in the vineyards, or you sit at home in any sawn outside of your house on your stoop, that when God calls, that He will not say, "I called and no one answered. I knocked and no one opened up." We know Jesus encouraged us, and He says that keep on seeking, keep on knocking, keep on asking, because he who knocks, it will be open to him. He who seeks will find. We know that. But the truth is that every so often, God comes knocking. God comes seeking. God comes asking. He comes knocking on the door of my heart. He comes seeking for someone to be available to intervene, someone to be available to start handing out the food, someone to be available to be the first to say, "I'm sorry," someone to demonstrate the grace and the power of God. May our churches be churches that when God comes knocking, when God comes seeking, when God comes asking, someone will say, "Yes, Lord, here I am. God, I'm not perfect. God, I don't have everything together. God, my life is sometimes still a bit of a mess. But God, if you are looking for someone through whom to move, someone through whom to answer a prayer, someone through whom to deliver, will you use me?" And I know that's the prayer of your heart. I know that's the prayer of this congregation. I know that's why this congregation exists, not just for you to see God's purposes and for you to see God's power, but so that God can work and God can operate through you. And I was looking at my brothers and sisters in Burundi, and I'm looking at them, and I'm seeing how far they're walking, and I'm seeing how they are emptying themselves and the little bit that they do have, and they give that. And I ask myself, Heinrich, what excuse do you have? What excuse do you have for not being available, not being perfect, not having everything sorted out? Because it has never been about our perfection. It has never been about us being worthy in our own strength. It has always been about God getting all the glory and God using people that really should not be used. And God using them. Say, "I will display my glory." And so when I ministered to our church in Burundi, I reminded them of how we started out 32 years ago as a small group of people in Stellenbosch who had this crazy dream that God would use us to impact the nations. And here we are 32 years later, and the gospel is going into many, many different nations of the world. And I told that group of pastors in Burundi that even though you might be in the second poorest nation on the face of the earth, know that God had called you to the nations. Know that God has placed something inside of you that cannot be limited by your demographics and by your economy and by your politics, because what is inside of you is nothing less than the same power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of you, and He has called you to show forth His power. And it's so easy to use excuses. It is so easy to look at ourselves and look at our family background and be a little bit like Gideon. "Lord, but you don't understand. If you're wanting to save someone, if you're wanting to redeem someone, if you're wanting to deliver someone, then Lord, I can show you a lot of other more qualified people. You don't understand that my tribe is the smallest tribe in all of Israel. You don't understand that in this very small tribe, my family is the smallest family in the small tribe, and I'm the least of the least in my small family in the small tribe in Israel." All the excuses. And God says, "But be strong, mighty man. Be strong, woman of valor. I have called you." And you know, in the environment where we live here in the Western Cape, where we have these majestic mountains all around us, let us be reminded that as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds His people. Let us be reminded that the Lord of all creation that created the beautiful nature around us is the one that has created us and has put His Spirit inside of us. But so often we can lose sight of the majestic mountains, so we can lose sight of the ocean and the eagles flying around us and the beautiful trees, and we can look to the size of our homes or the size of our cars or the absence of our cars or the size of our bank balances or the absence of our bank balances, and we can look at those things and we can begin to think that those things qualify us or disqualify us from being used by God. And maybe the world might look at us in that way. Someone has said, "God looks on the inside, but He's about the only one who does." The rest of the world judges us based upon what they see. But may the church of the Lord Jesus Christ be different. Amen. May we have a different spirit. May we not subject ourselves and submit ourselves to a world that is infatuated with the externals. May we have the Spirit of God upon us who will look to the inside. And ourselves and those around us. Why, when I came, was there no man? I believe that this is a church that will answer, Lord, here I am. You don't have to look further. You don't have to go and use another church. You don't have to go and use another family. But Lord, if you want to use someone, then use me. A while ago, I was praying through some challenges which we experienced on the leadership level. And I was saying to God, God, I'd hope that by now we had sorted out these things and everything would be fine. So maybe I can rest a little bit longer. I can say, maybe God, it's now time for me to take a bit of a step back and allow someone else to just step forward into this space. And I saw some things happening and I felt the Lord saying, but come on, I still need you to continue. I still need you to continue loving. I still need you to continue forgiving. I still need you to continue keeping your heart soft. I still need you to continue to stand in the gap, to press in. Because this world needs the church to say, Jesus, if you're going to use someone, use me. Verse 4, Isaiah 50 says, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. Some translations say, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the disciplined ones. The Lord God has given me the tongue of the discipled ones. Right in the middle of that verse, it says that God wants to give us a word to sustain those who are weary. All around us, there are people who are growing weary. All around us, there are big business people who are weary of the pressure, of the financial strain, of knowing that you have to provide in the needs of families that are dependent upon you. And other people might look at you and say, oh, that's awesome. He's the CEO. That's amazing. He has everything together. But you are spending sleepless nights praying for God to provide breakthrough so you can provide in the needs of the families that are dependent upon you. All around us, there are moms who are weary from not knowing whether the child is going to come back to Jesus. And she has to pray and she has to intercede that the Lord delivers him or her from that addiction. All around us, there are young people who are growing weary because the world around them seems to be falling apart and doesn't have a purpose for them. Weariness around us is increasing. It looks like people are becoming more and more dependent upon antidepressants, more and more dependent upon this new fad, the latest thing that would provide you with joy, the latest supplement, the latest this, the latest smart watch, because if you have the smart watch will tell you how well you slept and will tell you how amazing you should be feeling and not. And if you just drink this thing, then this will solve it all. And in spite of all of those things, weariness is increasing. People are sleeping less and anxiety is rising because maybe the weariness is not going to be solved through the external things we use, but through a rest for our souls. Maybe there's something more than just chasing after the next watch, the next phone, the next breakthrough. Maybe what we are looking for has already been given to us. Weariness is increasing all around us. And I believe that the Lord has positioned this church in a space and in a place where you can have a word for those who are weary. I don't think it's coincidental that this church is positioned here at the foot of the pass as we go up. Franschhoek Pass, I think it was called Olifant's Neck or Olifant's Kloof first. And apparently the elephants used to use this pass, used to use this mountain to traverse. Crazy thought. And I believe that this space here, this place has been positioned so that you can have a word living in your midst to refresh the weary. Those who still have to cross mountains in their marriages, mountains in their businesses, mountains in their mental health, mountains in their physical health, mountains that they have to scale to get to the place where God wants them to be. Imagine you arrive at the foot of this mountain and you are weary. You are heavy laden. You have things weighing down on your mind and on your soul about to crush you. And you know, I still need to cross this mountain. I still need to write this exam. I still need to stand in faith for this breakthrough. And you just feel weary to your soul. Sometimes people can have the greatest joy, the greatest facial expressions. They tell everybody around them, I'm the happiest person in the world. And they go home and they cut themselves because of the pain. Or they go home and they get rid of all the food they ate at the party. Why? Because something inside of them has grown weary. Weary of life, weary of struggle, weary of fighting, weary of not having the answers, weary of trying to win the approval of mom or dad, weary of trying to get that, well done, my son, my daughter, I'm proud of you. And it never comes, and the void just grows bigger and bigger and bigger. And so in our community in the Helderberg, we are praying into our schools because we have some of the top schools in the nation, some of the best schools in the nation. And every so often, two times or three times a year, we have one young person saying, I'm weary, I cannot go on, and they kill themselves. Weariness amongst the top achievers in our nation. Why? Because there's something inside of the human psyche and the human existence that has not been created to carry that amount of weariness. It doesn't matter whether you're first team captain, whether you're the prefect, and you've achieved everything, that there is still a void inside of every human being's heart that needs to rest. And so God says that, church, I want to partner with you to bring relief to the weary, to sustain those who are weary, to stand between those who are about to give up and the suicide or the depression or the giving up. And say to them, come on, you can do it. Come on, God is for you and not against you. You don't have to end your life. You don't have to end your marriage. You don't have to walk away from that business. You don't have to walk away from the church. You don't have to walk away from your purpose and your destiny. God isn't done with you yet. I know it looks dark. I know it looks like it's impossible, but we serve the God of the impossible. And I can't tell you how everything is going to work out, but I can tell you that He's risen from the dead. I can tell you that He's ascended. I can tell you He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I can tell you that He's praying for you. And I can tell you that He still multiplies the little bit we have to give Him. Morning by morning, He awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. I realize that that word that God wants to speak through our lives, there are two things that are needed, that we need to give to the Lord. What do you need to have a word spoken? You need an ear to hear, and you need a tongue to speak. And so this morning, I want to invite us to consecrate our ears and our tongues to the Lord. Again, because it's one thing speaking a word, but if you don't hear what God is saying, it is difficult to speak what God is saying. If we don't hear what God is saying, it is difficult to speak what God is speaking. And we don't just need human words. We don't just need human songs and human sermons and human good stories. The time we are living in is so desperate and the need so immense that we need the word from God. Morning by morning, He awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. It is so difficult to give a word of encouragement to those who are weary if we ourselves are weary. And if we ourselves haven't listened to God wanting to encourage us, ourselves. It can sometimes happen so easily that within church, we can sing about joy, preach about joy, and yet not experience that joy for ourselves. And I believe that God, just for some of us in this room again, God wants to invite you into a deeper rest. He wants you to come and sit at His feet. Colin sang that song, lay at His feet. And for some of us, maybe you think, I don't have time to lie down. I don't have time to sit still. I don't have time to just be quiet. You probably do not have the time not to do that. You cannot afford not to be quiet. You cannot afford not to sit at Jesus' feet so He can speak His word over you. Morning by morning, He awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. So God is wanting to teach us to listen to Him. All of us as parents, the moms this morning, you earned and deserved your chocolates. Because you had to teach your children how to hear. You had to teach your children not just how to hear, but how to listen. And so often we know that it's one thing hearing, it's another thing listening. And so the Holy Spirit wants to teach us how to listen to Him. Wants to teach us how to respond to Him. And I love what Scripture says. It's morning by morning He awakens. Praise God for this morning. I believe God is going to awaken some of our ears again to hear His voice. Maybe some of us, if someone were to ask you when was the last time you heard God's voice from Scripture prophetically, you might struggle to point to a time, but God wants to awaken your ear again. And we all hear differently, don't we? Some of us, we hear through walking in nature. Some of us, we hear through listening to worship music. Some of us, we hear through listening to the sound of our wife speaking to us. And we recognize it's the Holy Spirit and our wife speaking to us. And so we have to listen, otherwise we are in trouble. We all hear differently because we are wired differently. Some of us remember pictures. Some of us remember numbers. Our brains are wired differently. God knows how to awaken your ear. Don't try and hear like somebody else because you're not someone else. Your mind works differently. God has shaped you in a very special and in a unique way. Allow Him to speak into that. That's why we need to give Him our imaginations and give Him our ears and say, God, as I am, speak to me, Lord. It's funny to me often how sometimes we want to even sound like someone else when we pray. And God says, I want to hear your voice and I want to use your voice. And I want to whisper into your ear. We know this verse, all of us, Lamentations 3, 22 to 23. It's a beautiful song that I grew up with as well. My dad used to sing this for us around the table. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, the steadfast love, the chesed, the steadfast love, the unfailing love, the never-ending love, the unshakable love of the Lord never ceases. There's never going to be a morning when you wake up and you're like, whoa, God's love ran out. No, you're never going to get to a place in your life where you have to stand in a queue for kilometers on end like our brothers in Burundi have to wait for fuel. The fuel of God's love is never ending, never ceasing. And it is available, the steadfast, unshakable, in a world when everything is changing all around us faster than what we can possibly try and remember or keep pace with. At one stage, when you upgraded your phone every 2 years, you were cutting edge. Back in the day when the Nokia 3310 came out, you could wait for 2 years and your phone would still be new. And you could extend your contract. Now, 6 months, your phone is old. Things are changing all the time. Technology is changing. People are changing. But the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. How do we immunize ourselves against becoming weary? By focusing on the one who never changes. There's something called analysis paralysis that is paralyzing youngsters today because they have so many options. So many options, thousands of options, which you find on Instagram and on TikTok and on Facebook. Although my kids tell me Facebook is now outdated. But, you know, there's so many. Like, Dad, are you still on Facebook? There's so many options that the teachers tell them and the parents tell them and the pastor tells them. But their friends are telling them and somebody they've never met tells them. And that person has got 1,000 likes or 1,000,000 likes or whatever. And so, what do I do when there are so many options? You navigate through life by focusing on what never changes. Jesus' steadfast love. Steadfast. Let that word sink in. Steadfast. Die goedertierenheid van die Here is nimmer eindigend. Die goedertierenheid van die Here. Die steadfast love never, 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 ever ceases. Never. As a child, I used to think, what was before there was never. What comes after there was never. When did God begin? And I would think back, try and go back as far as I could in my mind. And I eventually fell asleep. And the one who has no beginning and who has no end, His love never ceases. That word speaks about covenantal love. The Greek word in the New Testament translated is agape love. It starts with Him. It doesn't start with you. You don't wake up in the morning and then God looks at you and says, oh, the way you treated your wife yesterday or the fact that you didn't do that or that. No, no, no. No, His love starts with Him. He is loving. And so it never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Praise God for new days. How do we renew our strength? How do we break with weariness? By literally taking it one day at a time. Some of us need to say, God, I invite your new mercies into this day. This is a new day, God. Yes, I didn't do what I wanted to do yesterday. And yes, I wanted to be set free from that thing already. But God, I thank you for new mercies today. I thank you that the sun shines on my life today. I thank you that there's breath in my lungs today. I thank you that I have another opportunity today to be used by you and to receive your love. They are new every morning. Like a thunderstorm in the Karoo where I grew up, cleanses the earth and you smell the rain and it is new and you can smell the ground. It's neat. It is new. When was the last time we slowed down to smell the fresh rain of God's new mercies? The devil keeps us busy and keeps us chasing after the next breakthrough, the next thing, but how about just pausing, smelling his new mercies? New mercies. You know, when I'm aware of new mercies, the cycle of shame and guilt gets broken over my life because there's new mercy for me today, God. New mercy, a fresh start for me today. The steadfast love of the Lord immunizes me against anxiety living in a changing world where people change, they make promises and they break them, but the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. When I meditate upon his steadfastness instead of the things that are changing around me. So who's going to win the election? Who's going to be in charge of the Reserve Bank? Who's going to win the next World Cup? Who's going to win the Premier League? Who's going to do all of those things? Some things that we worry about, when I shift my attention and my focus away from that onto the steadfast love of the Lord, my heart calms down. When I shift my attention away from my mistakes and my sin and I focus them on the new mercies of the Lord, joy erupts inside of me. When I shift my attention away from my financial insecurity or the things that I'm not sure about and I focus it on his great faithfulness, my heart can enter into rest. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness. It blew my mind as we were attending some of those churches and I saw the young people standing there praising Jesus, singing that, I will not stop singing about Jesus because he saved me and I can't stop telling what he has done about or in my life. And I look at them like, yes, man, so daar is baie redes hoekom ek kan dink jy nie vanoggend moet sing nie. But there's something inside of them. Why? Because they're focusing on the greatness of God's faithfulness. Psalm 27 verse 13 says, I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. David said, I would have lost heart. I would have lost heart if, and if you read the previous verses, and if you read the previous verses in Lamentations, we'll see that it's not as if Jeremiah, who writes Lamentations, as if his circumstances were great. They were terrible. Israel were in captivity. They were captured by the Babylonians, and they were trafficked to a different nation, and their families murdered. But yet he says, your faithfulness is great. Your mercies will never cease. He focused on what really mattered. What we meditate upon when we go to bed will be the voice we hear when we wake up in the morning. What we meditate upon when we go to bed will be the voice we hear when we wake up in the morning. For us to have our hearts and our ears awakened by the Lord's voice, it means that we need to meditate upon his word in the evening. It is difficult to have the Lord awakening your ear and whispering into your ear if what you are putting in is contradicting his voice. And so we can lose heart just like David when we lose sight of the fact that God is good. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I believe for some of us this morning, God is wanting to anoint your eyes for you to see through the eyes of faith, not through human eyes, that you will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. It might not look the way that you expect it to look. It might not come at the time you expect it to come. But it will come. God's goodness will manifest in your life. He is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. He doesn't make promises and then break them. He is faithful. He is faithful. Have you lost heart? Is there something that you're standing in faith for and your heart has grown weary? Then be encouraged this morning. I felt this morning the Lord is saying he's wanting to birth something new for many of us. That even while we were worshiping, something new was being birthed in the spirit. A capacity to look at life through the eyes of faith. The capacity to look at each other's lives through the eyes of faith. And not simply through what we see. But to believe and to call out the goodness of the Lord in our lives. And so I want to end Matthew 11, 28. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. Come to me. If you are in any way weary, if you are in any way carrying anything that's heavy, you need to scale the mountain. You need to go over this mountain. Oh, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who proclaim good news. You know, this is an amazing valley. It is so beautiful. But the danger is of beautiful places, we can become comfortable. The danger of beautiful places is we can begin to settle. And God doesn't want us to settle. Please don't hear that I'm saying you have to move. Richard is not going to be happy if that is the word. But we have to be willing to move in the Spirit. We have to be willing to stretch ourselves, to put ourselves outside of our comfort zones. But it is difficult to scale mountains. It's difficult to step out in faith, to join the band, to start prophesying, to join the intercession team, to pray for your colleagues at work. It's difficult to scale those mountains of obedience if you are weary, if you carry the guilt of shame and the guilt of self-condemnation, or maybe unforgiveness. For those of you guys running, you know that when you start off and you have a little pebble, a small pebble in your shoe, it's not that bad when you run a couple of meters. It's okay, you can ignore it. But if you're doing an ultra marathon, that thing is going to kill you. That thing is going to cause your foot to bleed and you're not going to be able to finish the way that you need to finish. And sometimes we're like, oh, that's just the altar call, it's just for the guy with a heavy weight. The thing is, small weights become heavy over time. A little bit of unforgiveness and offense eventually destroys your soul. A little bit of unbelief eventually causes you to miss out on God's purpose and God's calling on your life. Deal with whatever burden it is that you are carrying. Bring it to the foot of the cross. And I will give you rest, Jesus says. A brother came to me a while ago and he says, Heinrich, I just need to confess that I said yes to a job that I, in my heart, knew I should not have said yes to. But I said yes because of the promotion and the influence. And I knew the hours would keep me busier and busier. And eventually, I just started to drift from church. And I started to drift from my wife. And so I need to come back. And he went back to the boss and says that I need a demotion. Because this is costing me my soul. I'm not resting anymore. I've got more money, but I'm more restless than what I've ever been. Rest. You cannot put a price on it. And so for some of us, I want to invite you to give God permission to have a conversation with you about the rest stealers in your life. What is stealing your rest? Have a conversation. Give him permission to awaken your ear to hear what he's wanting to say to you. Just take my yoke upon me and let me teach you. There's the word teach again. Because I'm humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear and the burden I give you is light. I believe that this place will be a pit stop where many will come and they will unburden. They will lay down the heavy burdens of performance and of striving and of dead religion, and they will receive a fresh anointing here, a burden that is light and that is easy. In our community, we have many, many older folk, more experienced folk, who are living alone. They've become a burden to their families, and their families have put them in some old age home and forgotten about them. And they carry the burden of loneliness. And we're coming alongside some of them as a church, and God has called us as a church community to be the space where people can unburden from that yoke of loneliness. I felt in my heart that for some of you, you carry a heavy yoke of loneliness that you will not admit to anyone else. But it is killing you. And Jesus is wanting to set you free. And is wanting to make you part of this family. Doesn't want you to be a stranger. He wants you to know that you belong. That you will open your heart and receive the blessing that he has for you. My yoke is easy to bear. And the burden I give you is light. And so I want the band to come and just to minister to us. And I'm going to ask you guys to stand with me as I want to say a short prayer for us this morning. Because I want to ask the Lord to help us to have our ears awakened. That some of us, we have, as Afrikaans saying, it says, yet you order uitgeleen. Yet you order uitgeleen vir vreemde stemme. You've given your ear away to the voices of worry, to the voices of concern, to the voices of anxiety. For some of us, the voices of intimidation and the voices of accusation. And you look in the mirror and you have a lot of excuses and reasons as to why God cannot use you or why your best years are behind you. Then I want to ask the Lord that He will open our ears this morning. That He will awaken our ears to hear what He is saying. Thank you for your steadfast love, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your steadfast love. We praise you, Lord. We honor you. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Lord, awaken our ears, God. Awaken our ears this morning. Jesus, we love you. We praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can we just there where we stand and just open our arms to the Lord? If you feel comfortable doing that, just open our arms to Him. Thank you, Lord. Will you just say this after me? There's nothing magical about what I'm saying, but it is the Word of God. And if you will mix the Word of God this morning with faith, I believe that this can change your heart, stir something in you, birth something in you. And we confess what the Word is saying over our lives. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says that the Lord has given me, let's just say this together, the Lord has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning, he awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases in my life. His mercies over me never come to an end. They are new every morning. They are new this morning. Great is His faithfulness. Great is His faithfulness. Lord, we receive new mercies. Just receive there where you are standing. New mercies over your challenges. Just receive new mercies. Lord making new. He's making new. Thank you, Lord. New mercies. New mercies. Great is your faithfulness, Lord. Great is your faithfulness. I just feel for some of us this morning that we need to come and just bring circumstances, burdens, weights. Come submit them. Come and subdue them to the knowledge of the great faithfulness of the Lord. And if you can, just slip out from where you are and come to the front. If you have somebody who can look after your belongings, that's great. Otherwise, bring it along with you. Just come to the front. Come and subdue. Come and submit that thing that has become a weight in you. Maybe it's just a little pebble right now, but you know that if you continue this way, 5 years down the line, 10 years down the line, this can become a great weight. And you would just come and lay this down this morning under the declaration that the Lord's faithfulness is great. Maybe there's also in some of your hearts, you know that the Lord has called you to submit your tongue to Him. That there's a disconnect between your ear, what you hear the Lord is saying, what your tongue is speaking. You want to submit your tongue to Him and consecrate your tongue to the Lord. Say, Lord, may my tongue be a tongue that speaks life. May my tongue be a tongue, Lord, that not just prophesies and sings here, but prophesies and sings out there. And the way I speak to my family, the way I'm going to phone my mom this afternoon, the way I speak to my kids, the way I speak to my friends at school, the way I speak about my boss or about the president. I want to bring my tongue to you, Lord, so you can use this tongue. I feel specifically, some of you, the weight you have to lay down this morning is the weight of excuses. Just excuses. You know, I would never have chosen myself to be the team leader of our apostolic team. Never. I had too many excuses. God chose me. For many of you in this room, it's the same. You need to come and submit to God's call upon your life. Lay down your excuses. And maybe you don't know Jesus. You need to come and kneel this morning at the cross. Surrender your life to Him.